The dollar is mighty. What could make it fall? Investors should assume the currency is going to zero, the billionaire business partner of Warren Buffett said earlier this year. Right now, that seems crazy. Zero is, as investors know, a really bad number, and outlandish too. The dollar is strong against other currencies as the U.S. central bank races ahead with a higher policy rate. But Munger is thinking long. Very long. The dollar, he thinks, won't crash today, and it won't crash tomorrow. But, sometime in the next 100 years, it will. A century is a good chunk of time. 100 years ago, the U.S. was not a superpower. Over centuries, wild things happen. As such, we should accept Munger's gloomy assertion as a possibility. Then we should consider its probability. In other words, what would bring the mighty greenback to its knees? And how close are we to Munger's doomsday scenario? Many economists would say very far. The dollar is used because the dollar is used, or so goes the consensus mantra. But a good way to think about the dollar is to split the U.S. currency in two. This was the approach of 20th-century economist Robert Triffin. In effect, he thought there were two dollars trapped in one. The first dollar is for domestic use. The second, international. That, in turn, means the number of dollars in existence is always being pulled in two directions. America is, by definition, smaller than the world. Therefore, the number of dollars needed by the American economy, the first direction, is smaller than the number needed by the global economy, the second. And yet, both use the same dollar, so, Triffin posed a dilemma. If the American currency serves the global economy, with massive dollar liquidity, it runs the long-term risk of hyperinflation at home. Too many dollars. At that point, the rest of the world would abandon the greenback. But if America serves only the domestic economy, and issues far fewer dollars, it runs the risk of hyperdeflation abroad. Too few dollars. At this point, the rest of the world would, you guessed it, abandon the greenback. Either way, dollar supremacy must eventually end. We're not seeing much evidence of the above. Whatever its supply, everyone wants the dollar, which explains the long dollar view. But we are seeing some. Annual inflation in the U.S. is troublesome, at 8.3% in August, and foreign central banks are diversifying their reserves away from USD. The crypto crowd won't stop harping on about dollar alternatives. And the U.S. has effectively kicked Russia out of the dollar system. None of these things, by themselves, threaten dollar dominance. But a nascent thesis of dollar oversupply is obviously doing the rounds. A heterodoxy is emerging, one that points to growing U.S. debt, and the inevitable decline of financial superpowers in history as hints of a post-dollar world. So, what could kickstart the dollar's decline? Three things: war, fear, and guile. First up is war. Should the U.S. lose a conflict, say over Taiwan, markets will implode. Forget Ukraine, a war with China would be the mother of all supply chain disruptions. Should the U.S. lose Taiwan bravely, the dollar could well survive, or indeed gain. It could boost the dollar smile, the phenomenon that sees dollar demand spike after major news, good or bad. But should the U.S. cut and run, or should its fleet be annihilated? The dollar would surely teeter. Maybe not the same day. Maybe not the same week. But foreign exchange traders and capital markets would certainly begin to sweat. Second, fear. The nature of bank runs and market crashes is that they happen whenever they won't. Meaning, the exuberance that creates a frothy upcycle has an irritating tendency to surprise. Every 7 years or so, we seem to get a business cycle. Every 70 or so, we seem to get a crash. We know everything in theory and nothing practical. As an experiment, then, the fiat dollar is only about 50 years old. Whether fiat currency itself is prone to cycles, we do not know. Third, guile. Perhaps the time is ripe for a dollar alternative. That's not to say it would be easy to create one. Actually, it would be hard. But some sort of state-subsidized financial product, somewhere, could promise X% percent returns above dollar interest rates, and say Y% percent more if funds are transferred out of dollar-denominated holdings. That might not be sustainable at scale. It would require subsidy, But it could be proof of a concept, the idea that something, somewhere, is safer than the buck. Is America a Ponzi scheme or a trust fund? A short or long-term thing? We don't know. Nor do we know the ultimate fate of its currency. Today's voracious dollar demand suggests invincibility. But we should imagine the dollar's troubled end. That way, we might figure out how to extend its life. After all, with a little more imagination, Scipio would have wept before, and not at, the destruction of Carthage.